have been talking about the same thing. Mr. T. Tom will be glad to give you a set of notes. I have 20, if it's in your, but I only got 20because they're the same notes for the last 3 weeks. So, you know, you should have them. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 5, please. Now, if everybody got whatever you need, let's stand and we will read together 1 Corinthians 5. Can I say this? Your notes really aren't going to help you much over time. You know, I love notes. I love your ability to interact on notes. I love the ability we don't have to, you know, chase through the Bible for one random verse. But frankly, notes will be of no value if you don't use them as notes to review and to get the ideas. I started this out, I'm not going to go back that far, we started this bout from Proverbs, and it was 100% Dave Haas's fault. You say what? We started this when he asked me to teach on sexuality, that sort of thing, Proverbs 7, and I dealt with the scoffer, the fool, the simple, and the wise. That's all part of this. By the way, becoming wise is not you. The you in your pants or your dress this morning is not wise. A wise person is a simple person who knows they need God's wisdom, the wisdom of fellow believers, prayer, and ideas. That's a wise person. Not that I got it, I'm wise. You're a fool because you're fooling yourself. We talked about over the few weeks the hard things, and I wish we had a whole group here this morning, and who knows where people are at. I never spend time thinking. The double nickel. To be right. By the way, I put this outside the box of life because this is what informs us without us doing any thinking at all. And every person, from the smartest to the dumbest, from the most sophisticated biblically to the least sophisticated, wants to be right. Some people would rather die than change their mind. Connected to that, the other side of the nickel is the desire to win. And it comes up very much, by the way, friends, in these kind of discussions. Now, what some of you, if you've actually been involved and engaged, is I'm not really giving you answers. I'm not really interested in the answers, because as I'm going to demonstrate in a minute, the answers, you've got to have the right answer for the right question, and the questions keep changing, and we'll see that on Halloween, because I ask a very smart guy in this room, Dada, this question, and I love him to death, but Dada didn't know the answer to the question. You say, why? Because his entire Christian life has been lived where? Outside of the Philippines. By the way, this whole thing of Halloween and the Day of the Dead, I'm like, I had no idea what that even was. So I saw a bunch of pious people talking about Halloween, and I'll talk about that too. But my point is, Day of the Dead is part of Halloween in the Philippines, and that's a whole different animal that I never even knew what it was. And by the way, unless you've been there and experienced it, you don't either. It's weird. The other double nickel, feel good? I might have stated these slightly differently. And to look good to others. And then, of course, you would have to get narrowed down to which is that other group that you want to look good to. All right, so where I went to Bible college, by the way, just be seated. We'll stand up in a few minutes. Sorry, I didn't mean to keep you up so long. Where I went to Bible college, they had more standards and more things they were against than you could write in a book today. Bless God stuff. But I started to realize, when you start thinking, they wanted to look good, but who were the others they were trying to look good to? Anybody? Raise your hand. Tell me what you think. Go ahead, daughter.
Some of the other Christians that people ask to college?
Yes, they were looking at other people and making sure I had one more conviction than that group had. Can I say this? 100% that has nothing to do with Christianity. That is paganism of the worst sort. Which is the reason when the school I went to started, the president, the pastor said this. When we started, we had one sheet of rules. When I got there, there was a book. Because we got to prove to everybody we are the most pious. By the way, I'm not interested in that. Do you all understand? Every person in this room, have you ever listened to marital problems? Who's right? Well, I'll tell you who's right. Both people that are losing the marriage. Who wants to win? Both people. This is harder to feel good about self, especially if you grew up in a family where you were criticized a lot. You can have this kind of a swing like this, where you want everybody has to like you 24/7. You will compromise anything, or you will move around in a different way to feel good about self in other ways. So, and to look good to others. Those are outside of my categories. Now, last week, I gave not answers. I gave really their questions, I guess is what we would call them. And I put them in the corner. I could put this participation. I'll do that. Non-participation. This is just a question. By the way, we haven't addressed any subject. You just have to ask this question, whatever it is. Am I going to participate or am I not going to participate? Then, and it makes no difference where they're at, there is this issue of approval or disapproval. Now, I'm joking. Everybody got that? I'm joking. Everybody hears me. So I find out that Cliffy wants to buy a motorcycle. And I think motorcycles are of the devil. Do I approve or disapprove? Well, here's your problem. There's other factors entering into the equation. I want to feel good about myself and I want to look good to other people. Most of the time that's going to dominate a person. Let's make it closer to home. Do you go to the wedding where you know people are going to get drunk at the reception? Do you go to the reception? Do you go to the wedding? Do you go to neither? Do you go to both? Are these legitimate questions? By the way, I'm not giving an answer. I'm saying these are the kinds of things. Am I going to approve of something or disapprove? Last week, we talked just a little bit. I won't do it again, Emily, because Emily has confronted this in her own family with a brother getting married to a gay guy. So this ain't religion junk. Now, are you going to the wedding? Well, I know my answer without blinking. I'm not. What about, are you going to approve or disapprove? Well, that gets really tacky and hard. And I said last week, I don't want to get beyond this. Some of this is going to be this. Sometimes it's this. And sometimes it's, you know, I'm hugging you as a person, but I'm not, and these are hard subjects. And I'll tell you what, and Christians will hate you for differing from them on any, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do, because I think some of this is difficult. Well, we moved on to the next concept. I can put down two. Yes, or you can say contagious or non-contagious. So if I go to a restaurant that sells alcohol, I went to a restaurant yesterday that sells alcohol, and I met Pastor Frank over there. And no, neither of us had alcohol. Was it contagious for us? If anybody saw us walking out of the restaurant when they said, oh, what are those two guys doing there? The answer is zero. It's a restaurant. If you saw me going into a tavern, hey, you say, well, I'm going there because the Diet Coke is cheap. I've been around pastoring and people too long. People say this. I only go to the casino because the food is cheap. Can I say this? I don't need the food that much. Can I say this? Neither do you. Well, there's another thing, a question. Is guilt by association? Now, this is not the strongest. These are just questions. Or no guilt. Otherwise, if I partake or imbibe or connect, or am I part of that, do I become guilty because I'm associated with this? Hard question. Do you understand this is not Billy Baptist stuff? I'm not telling you the rules. I'm telling you the questions. Now, let's take a step back. Halloween. You say, what did you do on Halloween? I read a book. I ate some food. I heard craziness all around. That was my extent. Do you believe? See, you want to trap me. You don't want to think, but here's the question. I don't know what year it was when I went to the Philippines. The best day I ever had in Manila, 4 days, is the Day of the Dead, which is November 1st, correct? Not the 31st, that's Halloween. But it's connected. The Day of the Dead, the second was on a weekend. And they extended it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. That's the best 4 days I ever had in Manila. By the way, I could drive across Manila 20 minutes as opposed to 3 or 4 hours. No traffic. Everybody goes to the province. I asked Dada, not picking on Dada, because he got saved in the Navy, has been a Christian in America. What do Christians do in the Philippines with the Day of the Dead, where this is what many people do? They go back. What do? Well, they go back to wherever their parents or grandparents are buried. You know, they go there. Now, some of it's good. They clean up the grave. That's fine. Sometimes they bring a meal. Nothing wrong with that. They meet other family. Nothing wrong with that. Some of them pray for the dead. Do we pray for the dead? Well, if you believe that you're praying people out of, you know, Jesus is not only Jesus, but it's you have to have people pray for you. But then the question is, what do you do on the Day of the Dead? Do you go out and just clean your graveyard, you know, grave stuff off of your family? And so, Dada, what is your thoughts? You don't want to have any thoughts, do you? That's too tricky.
Well, that's where I go. The priests are roaming around there, even fake priests, because they get paid.
What are the priests doing there?
Pray for.
What are the priests doing there?
Praying, not for me.
Yeah. Now, see, here's the weird thing. We have Catholics in America, but I never heard of this thing in America. And I experienced it one time when I went there with the family, and I went there with, I actually escorted the mother, which is a year or two younger than my mom. I escorted her, lovely lady. They didn't do anything weird. They just went out and made sure the graves of their family were cleaned. But there were priests wandering around, and by the way, people come up and the money. Why? Because that priest's job is to say some whatever and maybe get your relative out of purgatory earlier.
Their prayers are more effective.
Their prayers are more effective. By the way,
more married.
I can only tell you this. The Cardinal of the Philippines couldn't help Louis Jaraz. Right, Louis?
Pastor, the Day of the Dead, that was solution for us, for children.
No,
that,
I mean,
that was cultural.
That
was like cultural. Because everyone goes there because it's for the dead. And we play, and then the priest comes. If you get the bishop, oh man, it was fun for us all the time.
Yes.
But we just went because it was a.
Because you got food and probably some dessert, candy, and yeah, I mean, they have like a party. So, yeah, Amy.
My friends from Mexico celebrate the Day of the Dead. So I saw, and brother claims to be Christian. This is the mother who asked this summer, we did somebody else one, they had an altar for the mother, and then they ate and drank her favorite foods in memory of her.
Now, the memory?
But they had a legitimate altar with candles lit.
Now, you thought you had it all figured out, didn't you? Then you run into a different culture that does something totally different than what you're used to, and you're like, now folks, I've never been a Catholic. I just say this, Catholics haven't been in my family for a week or two. All right, so questions. Do I participate or don't participate? Do I approve or not approve? Is it something that I can catch in some way? You know, we have to, that's a hard question sometimes. And will I look or will I bring guilt on the cause of Christ, or is it something that's neutral? All right. We're going to go back to simple things. By the way, this is not about you, your friend, your brother's friend, your sister's friend, your cousin's friend, your mommy, your daddy, your grandpappy. I'm not talking about anybody. We're asking questions. You say, you have to get so rough. Do you know how people listen? They get mad at me about something that I'm just giving an example. So, last week we talked about do you participate in this? Now, most marriages, to some degree, have both a ceremony, and they oftentimes have like a meal or whatever, party. And then there's the actual union, which is a little bit, hopefully, or not hopefully, whatever. It's a little bit more lengthy. All right, so do you go to the ceremony? Hello? I know you got the answer because I'm going to trick you now. You ready? Remember who we're not talking about. So let's switch this thing from a gay relative to can I emphasize that anymore? Who has been living, shacking up with somebody who is a drunkard? Will you go to the wedding? By the way, don't say yes or no. What are the questions? Are you going to participate in a ceremony which is obviously not a Christian ceremony? Second question is, are you going to approve of all this person, you know, because everybody in America, by the way, you go to Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, everybody's saved. Of course, until you get right past the surface and then you realize, no, everybody has Billy Baptist language. Man, they have language. They have more language than you've ever heard in your life. But when it comes to living differently, oh no. You know, that's the home and the land of getting drunk on Saturday, going to church on Sunday, and that's part of Christianity. And you say, how do you know that? Because I'm not stupid as I look. So I've asked you a question. You have a family, and we were dropped the gay issue. They're shacking up with their boyfriend, girlfriend, whichever it is. And you already know there's a ceremony, there's a meal, there's a party. Do you go to the ceremony? You don't have to have a yes or no. Tell me your answer. Mike?
Well, there's two sides to the coin.
No, there's actually four questions. There's lots of sides to the coin.
Just from where I'm sitting right now, do you want them to not get married?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're already living together or whatever.
Okay.
You know.
Yes, of course.
But that makes it tough. That makes a tough decision.
Mm-hmm. What about the after party? Because, you know, Mr. Billy Baptist or Miss Billy Baptist, they're not living as Christians. So that's the ceremony that was not Christian is going to lead into a meal or a party. By the way, come on, folks. You're not stupid. This goes on every place. And you go to the party.
Pastor, concerning your relative, it's not bad to tell where you stand. Right? we were invited by a relative for a gay marriage. We said we don't agree with a, we only agree with a man and woman marriage. What did I understand?
It's the only kind of marriage there is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they knew where we stood, so we could go, and they respected that. Yeah. Now, the question was, I asked them all this day, last week we were saying, hey, we didn't want them to come to our house and sleep because they were gay, right? Okay, fine, daddy. My wife said no. I said yes, regardless of. So I asked Noel, what if they invited us to their house now? They're living together in the house. Should we go or should we not go? If I go then, do I agree with the relationship? And we were talking about Matthew last Friday, and Matthew invited the Lord Jesus Christ with all the taxpayers in his house eating. That's why, hey, why are you eating? So, where do I start? I said, what's your answer? He didn't answer me, though.
Because I'll answer you today.
Pastor Clark's going to answer you
it
today.
It actually happened to us. But before we got saved late, so when my wife and I, we knew some things will happen in the future, so we decided when we bought our first house, we dedicated the house to the Lord, meaning we will honor whatever is honorable to God. So lo and behold, cousin called, she wanted to visit. Said, well, okay. But we didn't realize she's coming with a man she's not married to. Mm-hmm. And so the tone is something that is important. It's not like, oh no. Yeah. No, it's like, we love you, but you can't sleep here. We will even go out, go somewhere. We can, the participation, we can go there. But the not participation.
You're controlling the environment.
The not participation is you can't spend the night here at this house. So it's not like if they invite us in their place, we will go. But we have to explain there are lines that we have to draw.
Okay.
But in a good sense, it's not like. And that's what you said. The hard part is how do you embrace them when they say it.
I'm going to put a name of a restaurant on the board that only three people in this room have the possibility of knowing, and two of us have been there many times. I'll come back to the brass door later. All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, can we? Now, Louis. 1 Corinthians 5 is talking about a local church. But sometimes this gets real fuzzy on the local church. Especially when you have the Billy Baptist or Sally Baptist kind of stuff. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He says, the King James says, this is pretty accurate. I read this in Greek this morning to check on the last part of it. It says, it is reported commonly, or it's kind of like well known, that there is fornication among you. Who's the you?
The church.
Church at Corinth. And such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now, you know, it means either you're having sex with your mother or your stepmother, but neither one would be real good. Yes? Well, how did the church at Corinth, and by the way, friends, what we're discussing this morning, this is what's funny. Tim, I'll have to show you that it's really interesting. I read this morning, because you know, I had an extra hour, so I just read some stuff. One of the good Billy Baptists from the South, he is far drinking. He says, right when I'm writing this article, I'm having, and forgive me, because I know nothing about booze. Pino or Pino or P-I-N-O-T, whatever, what is it? trying to trap you, Louis. I don't really know. But anyhow, he says, I'm drinking a glass of wine while I'm writing this chapter. This is no joke. He says, I don't have any problem with drinking as long as it's in moderation. And as long as you never define moderation.
Right.
But he says, but I'm really against Halloween. If I could line up in a church service, all the people that have wrecked their life from alcohol, and all the people that have wrecked their life by trick-or-treating.
Not even speaking.
Steve, you have both problems, that's the problem there. By the way, you think this is a mess? Now, the real mess is verse 2. And he says, and this is King James, it accurately reflects the Greek. You're puffed up, you're proud about this, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be, what's that say? So, you know, when you get into this kind of level, folks, the four questions, this precedes all the questions. It's like, wait a minute, church has to take action here. But you've got a problem. Parents don't want that to happen to Billy Jim Bob because he's a saved person. He prayed a prayer when he was 4. He got wet when he was 6. Now, he hasn't ever had a single interest in the living God, Christianity, truth, righteousness, ever. But he's a Christian. He's saved. Well, Paul says this person should be taken away from you in some fashion. He goes on to say, for I verily am absent, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present. He didn't have to get the evidence. The evidence was public knowledge. Everybody? Public knowledge. Concerning him that hath so done this deed. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus to deliver such a one unto Satan. Can I say what this means minimally? Minimally? Disapproval from a church. Now the problem is everybody and their brother is going to do everything they can to mitigate that so the person doesn't feel any disapproval. If a person's connected to a church, and we're not talking about they sin, people sin. This is not talking about somebody that messed up. It's talking about somebody living with his stepmother or mother. Yes or no? Yes. This is not talking, by the way, you don't have, somebody messed up, you don't have to bring them and, you know, bring them before the church, all things being equal. But there has to be some pretty strong disapproval. By the way, my friend Chuck Ells, I'm going to quote Bambi. She used to think, Pastor, why do you get loud? And she said, Dr. Saxon doesn't get loud. Then she was listening to Dr. Saxon online at Maranatha and said, yeah, he gets loud too. Listen to me, friend. Chuck Ells, one of the nicest human beings I have ever met, mentioned homosexuality in a church service, and a woman, grandmother, grandpa was there. By the way, I haven't said this in 20 years, 25 years. I'll say it today for the first time in 20, 25 years. Men don't lead churches. Women do. And men follow them. That's almost universal. By the way, please don't challenge me on that because you'd lose. Even men that I thought had character. One of them joined this church as a single man. And his crazy wife dragged him away from here. Do you know who she was? Anyhow, Chuck says, I just mentioned gay, lesbian stuff in passing in a sermon. That was the last time I ever saw him. Because grandma had a granddaughter that was a gay girl. And grandma, look at me, everybody. How does she feel about herself? Look at the board. She feels how about herself?
Good.
And her granddaughter is, I think you're missing the point. The granddaughter's good because the granddaughter's part of me. She just abandoned church. By a mention from Chuck Ells, he was like, what? By the way, this is the reason these kind of messes happen in churches. Everybody's happy. We're so happy for you. We're so happy that you're a drunk, smoking pot, cursing constantly, telling filthy jokes, living like a pagan, but we're happy for you. You have shown approval to stuff. Church has to show some disapproval, at least minimally, to the body. Well, let's continue. To deliver, so I would say minimal, strong disapproval. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if the guy's saved. He says, you're glorying, you're bragging, you're boasting. Man, we have love in this church. We're not legalists. He says, know you not that a little leaven does what? Look up on the board. Where do you think this stuff comes from? It's contagious. By the way, you bring that into a church. Oh my goodness. And listen, I have children. I had a son. I have a son. And I have a daughter. If you don't think I wouldn't take church discipline on either one, I think you don't know me very well. If you think I want to do that, you don't know me very well either. By the way, friends, you cannot tolerate this because it becomes contagious. Then all the kids think, I know what's going on here. Seeing this in living color, unfortunately. And by the way, we're not talking about sin. We're not talking about mess up. We're not talking about somebody's kid got drunk one night. I'm all against that, but people are stupid. Kids are more stupid. We're talking about lifestyle stuff. Verse 6 says, your glorying, your boasting, your bragging is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. By the way, some of us are lumpy. As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, and by the way, this is the inner part, this is the theology department. Let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, ill will, wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, verse 9 gets to right where the action is. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle. This is a lost epistle. Not to company with fornicators. All right, Louis, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't confess anybody's sin. I'm just asking you, you were in the Navy. Did you work with guys on ships that were fornicators? When they went to different places, they found prostitutes or whatever, correct?
Yeah.
I'm coming back to that. He says, I wrote in a previous epistle not to keep company, otherwise not to hang out, not to be part of your life with fornicators. But he says, well, but I think you missed my point. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world. Are with the covetous, are with extortioners, are with idolaters. For then must you needs go out of the world. So Louis, you might have been, I don't know anything about the Navy, Louis, okay? I was in the hospital. But let's pretend you're working on X division and there was five chiefs in this big division. You might have three of them that are total pagans. What are you going to do? Get out of the Navy? Look me in the eyes. Do you realize there are Christians that do that? We've had some in Lake County that did that way back in the 70s under bad advice. Well, where are you going to work? Now, by the way, I'm not going to go. Am I going to go to the house of prostitution with them? Non-participation. Am I going to approve what they're doing? No. Am I going to go and say, well, I'm not going to do anything. They have good food there. No, because there's a contagion to that kind of thing. Especially, Louis, if you're I'm not talking about you, of course. I'm talking about you're out on a ship and you're married and you're gone for 9 months and you go with a person to a place because they have good food. There's prostitutes there too, of course. By the way, this happened to me in the Philippines. I've told the story. I'll tell it in a second here, just for a second. I'm in Tacloban. It's when I went to visit this couple that I know from St. Louis, Glenda and Dennis. I went there to see them and really to do something. But anyhow, one night, I was only there 2 nights. One night, we were hungry. I said, is there a restaurant open? Now, the only person in this room that understands Tacloban is not here. It'd be Just John. Just John was there right after the disaster of the flood. It's the weirdest place. When I went there, I thought, I like Tacloban. It's open. Then I realized, yeah, it's open because the flood washed everybody away. Yeah, of course. So we drove around. By the way, now, he's not a Christian guy. He's a Catholic. I was there just keeping a friendship, very distant. We're driving down the road. We see a place that says food. He pulls in, and I'm not going to use his language. We pull in. We look at the place. I'm not a Filipino. It looked like a place that had food. And he says, well, this is the place, and he used derogatory language. I'm going to be exactly what I said to him. And there are girls in there that won't have clothes on. And I looked at him and said, I have a daughter and a wife at home. I will not go into one of those places. You say, where do we go? We went to Shakey's Pizza. In the Philippines, that's a good place to go. Back in those days, I could still eat those potatoes. What are they called out there? Shakey's, what are they called? Mojos. Oh my goodness. I would get an entire bucket for me. That's the reason I had a glucose problem. Look at me, friend. There is no way I'm going into a place where women are there for other purposes because the food is cheap. That's just living as a Christian. But we don't always think that when it's people we like. Let's keep reading. So he says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. But he says, but yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. You couldn't even live here. Now, again, that doesn't mean I go party with people. But if I've worked around a lot of pagans, have you? By the way, what do you have to do? Look at me. I'm going to use a different analogy. You got to plant your flag. I'm a believer. There are things I'm just not going to do. Hello? And that's hard to do. I always liked it after I'd been on a duty station for a while because you didn't have that problem. But when you come to a new duty station, you can always fit in. You know, you don't want anybody because of what? Look here. You want people to like you. You want to feel good about yourself. I've been there. By the way, you haven't been any place I haven't been. We all struggle with this. Well, let's keep reading. He goes on to say, and this is where it gets tough. But now I have written unto you not to keep talking to you. If any man that is called a brother, you know, he's saved, he prayed a prayer, you know, all of that stuff that I hear all the time. He be a fornicator, meaning a practicing fornicator, covetous. Of course, that wouldn't affect us because we wouldn't recognize it. An idolater, a railer. I've asked people in this church, why do some people like everybody that hates me? Everybody look at me. I think you need to hear that question again. Why do some people like every person that hates the person you're looking at? You probably should figure that out. A railer is one of those people. You like to, yeah, Pastor Warren, blah, blah. By the way, joins right in the lying and right in the criticism and the gossip. By the way, it's real. I can name names. Yeah, people that have been here. Ridiculous. Or a drunkard, or an extortioner. He says it. With such a one, know not to eat. Now that's tough. What does that mean? Joseph, what does that mean? Know not to eat. What are the options? Anybody, what are the options? It's either talking about just you should not have a meal with a person that's, look at me, a believer that's in direct disobedience to God. Or, so it means simply no close fellowship. Some people think, because they always see this every place, no Lord's Supper. You say, which one do you hold to? Both. I think the person has to be excised. I do not think you smile. You say, why? Because the person thinks the church approves me and what I'm doing. Now that's talking about this person that says they're a Christian. Yes, you may.
It's not just the concern about approval to that person, but also others around that might see, even mm-hmm. your own children and things like that. So it's not just the concern of whether you're showing approval or disapproval to that particular person.
But yes, it's really more of what the person is doing. Yes, because you want to set and establish this is who we are here.
Yes, the last point.
Yes, the guilt by association, which, by the way, can be overblown. All right, so let me, by the way, do you understand the two options most of the time as people have read this? It's talking about not having a meal, close relationship. And by the way, I would rather have a meal with an unsaved person. But look at me, that I control the setting. Hello? Yep. That I would one of these Billy Baptists that is saved and wants my approval. I don't think you realize how much people seek approval. And they seek it from us. So, the brass door. Jenny, how many times have you eaten there? Do you know? 10 times? 12 times? Brass door is a little place in Carrollton, Illinois. It's called the brass door because they have a brass door on the front. It's, Carrollton, Illinois does not have a nice eating establishment outside of this, and they have a good pizza place. I've taken my mother to both places for family gatherings with my mother and her brothers and sisters, both Brass Door and the pizza place. The Brass Door has one small problem. They sell alcohol. Now, it is a family restaurant. Family style. Do you all know what a family style means? It's a long table. I mean, you ahead of time, you say, I have 20 people come and they set up long tables. They have plates and everything there. And we always go on the night, they have, oh, Oblong, are you listening? Now that you know my secret, I only have cheated on the potatoes 1.5 or 2 times since I stopped. The Brass Door has breaded pork chops without the bone, mashed potatoes and gravy, and biscuits, and green beans like they make it where I'm from, and coleslaw. You say it is a fat man's paradise. Yes, it is. But hold it. Most people in my family are either Christians, are connected to Christianity. Many of them are Baptist. Many of them are conservative. My brother will not go to the restaurant because they serve alcohol. Now, he is, by the way, so we look at the principles. I want to ask you the principles. Do you have to participate in drinking when you're there?
No.
No. Do you show approval of drinking when you're there? There's not a single person in my family that drinks when we're there. Zero. Not a nilch. By the way, in the whole, it's an open room, big open room. With tables all around. I don't see anybody drinking. It's in another room that you go into. It's a little bitty place that you can buy a beer. Maybe one person in the whole place buys beer. Approval? I don't think so. Do I feel like drinking when I'm there? I don't even know what's there because I'm too busy with the pork chops. And I'm sorry, you haven't had it. It's a wonderful, Jenny, it's not a wonderful place to eat. And if you don't like the pork chops breaded like where I grew up, they will grill them for you. They will bake it. Oh, good grief. What about guilt by association? Look at me, friends. You're not guilt by association any more than you are when you go to Jewel. Right. Actually, Jewel has a whole lot more alcohol than that little restaurant does. And they sell a whole lot more alcohol. Now, when I saw Louis pulling up with his cart full with alcohol bottles, I knew that we had a problem. Now, I want to ask you, do you understand the questions? Now, I'm going to tell you a story. We're going to be out not 5 minutes early this week, but right on time, more or less. I told somebody, maybe Dada, I know I talked to several people. My family were Baptist Christians. Or unsaved Christians. When my youngest uncle got married, are you listening? He got married, please don't get offended. He got married to a Catholic woman. Do you realize, it took me a long time to think about it. I thought, I don't remember his wedding. Because no one in the family went to the wedding. It was a Catholic wedding. You have to understand where I'm from, that is verboten. That's for, you just don't go to cat, you say, whoa, blah, blah. Now, wait a minute, hold on, take a breather. I don't know what they did at the reception, because we didn't go to that either. But they accepted his wife. They've been married 55 years or so. By the way, can I tell you what's interesting? He has 3 sons. His oldest son married the pastor's daughter, where my mom went to church. The second son goes to that church because he lives right there. He and his wife go there, and the third son, which had a rough life, eventually got saved, goes to a little church out in the country. And Uncle Kenny and Aunt Rose got saved and are going to that church. Our family did not approve of that. They didn't disapprove of Aunt Rose. They never said anything. They loved her like they would anybody. That's a hard balance of this. Most people, so happy for you, so blessed by you, or I'm not even going to speak to you. By the way, these things are hard. I would tell you they're hard because this motion, is a very hard motion. It's easy to do this, it's easy to do that. I don't approve of that. Or, I'm not going to be around that. By the way, you do realize, maybe you don't realize, Catholic churches, if you, do you understand their official teaching on marriage? It's one of the seven sacraments, yes? It's part of your salvation, yes? Do you believe that? Well, I would have a hard time participating in that. But I could still love the couple. All right. I don't know how much further we're going to go with this. I make everybody nervous. If the person in this church, look at me, that grows up in this church, that lives like a pagan, I'm going to treat them not as a pagan. I'm going to treat them worse than a pagan, and I'm not going to do anything to show her or him any approval because they should know better. That's the direct teaching of the Apostle Paul. That's the highest standard, the body. And I will say this, if the pastor and people in the church approve of certain things, he gets out immediately. Everything's okay. Can't do it. All right, let's pray together and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name. Amen. Now, Dada, I really stirred the pot.